said, thank you so far for the wonderful preachers you've had and the speeches you have. And thank you for the full Bible being just brought out of there. Thank you for Mandy being here and let her be so speak her way and Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much. That was wonderful. Opening your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I wish I had some kind of an amazing opening this morning, but I don't. So you just duck. Opening your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I know this is the last day of camp, and we tend to get a little bit tired and weary, so we're going to kind of just stay in this one chapter. And I thought, you know, if you're tired and sleepy, I would just take you to an ancient battle amongst people that you don't even know and names that you don't recognize, and that should be really exciting to you. So I can tell that you're all very excited to hear about this ancient battle. We are going to go through the whole chapter of 2 Chronicles 20. The door's open. If anybody wants to leave, do it now. Otherwise, you're captive. But it's going to be exciting because this is the Battle of Baraka. Does anybody know how the Battle of Baraka ended? If you do, don't tell me. Just raise your hand. Nobody knows. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the ending of the Battle of Baraka. Israel wins. Israel wins. The people of God win. And we are the people of God as believers, as Christians who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. And we also are the winners in the battle, not because of who we are and not because of what we have done, but because we know Jesus Christ. And he is the victor over our enemies, which are the world, the flesh, and the devil that we looked at yesterday. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God who has given us the victory in Jesus Christ. And we have been talking this week about the battle of the ages, and the battle of the ages is a battle for the health and the well-being of our soul. It is a soul battle. It is a battle against the prince of the darkness of this world. Is it a battle against our own old sin nature? It's a battle against the lust and the draws of this world. Our enemies are real. Our enemies are strong. But we should not be afraid of our enemies because we have faith in Jesus Christ. And as Salvador taught last hour, I heard, I wasn't in the class, but Gene told me he taught a great class, and the issue is faith. If we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, he has already won every single battle. Where did he win the battle? He won it on the cross. He was the victor over the world. He was the victor over sin. He was the victor over death. He was the victor over the devil. And all we have to do is live in light of that victory. So we're going to look at a battle that God won for the Jewish people, for his people, his chosen people. And we're going to see what Israel did leading up to that battle. And we know that when we study the Old Testament, what God did for the people of Israel in a real and physical sense, he does for the people in the church age, which is us, in a spiritual sense. So even though we're looking at a physical battle, we're going to learn spiritual principles from it. They were preparing for a great battle, a great threat that was coming against them. We also are in a battle, and I can tell you, girls, it's only going to rage more and more as we go through this life. As we read the news, as we see the darkness that is engulfing this world, the violence that is engulfing this world, as we see just the normal everyday pressures and trials of life, there are tough times ahead of us. There are battles ahead of us. But we need to remember that Jesus has already won that victory, and we live in the light of that victory. So let's see what Israel did. Let's begin in verse 1 through 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 4.
Why did the Moabites and Ammonites, along with some of the men who were
Unites,
and attacked Jehoshaphat.
I'm sorry. That's okay. I got to practice ahead of time.
And reported to Jehoshaphat, a huge army was attacking them from the other side of the Red Sea, from the direction of Edom. Look, they are in Hazel,
We'll just call it En Gedi.
Okay, En Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he decided to seek the Lord's advice. He decreed that all Judah should observe a fast. The people of Judah assembled to ask the Lord's help. They came from all the cities of Judah and asked for the Lord's help.
Okay, very good. So in verse 1, we find that there are three enemies facing Jehoshaphat and his army. Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, the king of Judah. These three enemies are very strong. And Jehoshaphat, at this time, his army has been somewhat devastated from previous battles, and he is very weak. And so his first reaction is fear. And as we look at the world around us, we can react with fear. There are terrorist attacks, there are threats to our economy, there's the threat of an EMP, there's all sorts of threats in our lives. And then there's just the everyday threats around us that we face as women, our own safety, our own health, and these things. And sometimes we can react to these things in fear, just as that was Jehoshaphat's first reaction. But his fear led him to seek the Lord. And so living in the light of the victory of Christ, the first thing that we do is seek the Lord in every battle that we face. Anything that brings fear upon our soul, we go to the Lord for wisdom. We go to the Lord. We seek his face. We seek his direction. We seek his wisdom. We seek his help. As you young girls have decisions to make as to where you will go in your future, where you will go to school, what kind of a career you will seek, who you will marry, don't do that in your own wisdom and strength. Seek the Lord with those things because you want to make the right decisions. And this goes down to details of your life. When I sit in front of a computer and I'm booking airline tickets for us to go on a mission trip someplace, I have to seek the Lord first because there are a multitude of flights available to us and we want to be on the right one. We want to be on the one that gets us there safely and on time. Unless it's our time to go and God puts us on one that's going to crash in the ocean. That's his decision. But we seek the Lord. When we face fear, seek the Lord and seek his help. And this is what Jehoshaphat does. He claims a fast through all of Judah. And what I want you to see here as well is that this battle is not just against Jehoshaphat. Who is it against? All of Israel. Okay? The women are threatened, the men are threatened, the soldiers are threatened, the children are threatened. And so Jehoshaphat gathers everybody together, and he's going to lead them in prayer. When he leads them in prayer, they are all there, because the battle is against all of them. And this teaches us, ladies, that we need to come together as the body of Christ, because there are battles that are coming against us that include the whole body of Christ. We need to come together, pray together, join together, encourage one another. We need each other. And because everyone was involved in this attack or threatened by this attack, Jehoshaphat brought them all together. Not only so that there was the power of all of them together, but that also all of them could be a part of the prayer. All of them could be a part of the deliverance. All of them could see with their own eyes what God had done for them. So if an attack is against the body of Christ needs to join together. And the body of Christ is being attacked across the face of the world today. Ask Carrie, ask Basil, ask Andy, who is with us from Mexico. The attacks are around the world. There are places that are very dangerous for Christians to live and to live out their faith. We need to pray for them. Get on the Voice of the Martyrs. Get on different websites that tell you about people who are being persecuted and pray for those people because that attack is against the whole body of Christ. There are attacks that come against a church. My husband and I have lived through many attacks against our church when he pastored the church. Then the church needs to come together. And if you are in a church, if you are in a local assembly, be a strong part of that assembly. Don't be a warmer of the pew. Be somebody that is involved in every way that you can be involved, because there is a battle against each and every local church and the leader who is leading that church. Sometimes attacks come against a family, and then your family needs to rally together. The husband and wife include the children. If the children are aware of the battle, include them in the battle. They might not know all of the details, but it's okay for them to know, look, we are under an attack here. We are under a threat, but Jesus Christ has won the victory, but we're going to seek God's help and we're going to pray. Sometimes marriages are under attack. And I can tell you, in our 43 years of marriage, we have been under many attacks, and sometimes we have opened the door, and by our own sin and our own foolishness and our own apathy to the Word of God, we have, in a sense, invited Satan into our home. And you know, he's not a good house guest. He really wrecks the place. He's worse than the grandkids, you know? He just really messes up the place. And he's hard to get rid of. He's hard to get rid of. So the best thing is to just keep that door shut and seek the Lord and pray. Don't let him into your home. Don't let him have a foothold. Be diligent. Be alert and be sober, we're told, because he walks around like a roaring lion trying to come in the front door and wreak havoc in your home and in your marriage. So whoever the battle is against, those people need to gather together and seek the Lord. And then let's read verse 5 through 12.
I got that.
Thank you, Carrie.
Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? To where?
Through 12.
Okay. They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom did you not let Israel, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt? They turned aside from them, and they did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. Or, God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
I love that verse 12. We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And this is a verse to remember. This is a verse to put in that diary of your soul and to use in our life. We are powerless and we are helpless. Thank God I am powerless and I am helpless. Because when I am weak, as Paul said, then I am strong. And why is that? Why is it that when we're weak, we're strong? How can that be? That makes no sense at all. Yeah, in the spiritual sense, it makes sense. Because when we're weak and we realize that we are powerless and helpless, then we go to somebody who is strong and faithful. We go to the Lord. And so we see that because Jehoshaphat is seeking the Lord for the nation of Israel, he goes, that seeking is manifest in prayer. And I'm so happy for what Courtney shared with us, that she learned to pray out loud today. And you know, as believers, we grow in our prayer life. We grow in our prayer life. A little child will just say, please God, can I have a new toy? And he hears that prayer. That is a precious prayer to God. God, thank you for this meal. You know, this is the food for us. Thank you for us. That's a precious prayer. Every prayer is precious. But as we grow in our faith, our prayers become deeper and our prayers become more reflective on who God is and what we have learned from him over our life. And we see this in the prayer of Jehoshaphat. He prays with confidence. And he prays to God with confidence because he knows who God is. In his prayer, he reflects God's character. He reflects God's essence. He reflects the plan of God. God, I know this is what you have for the nation of Israel, and because I know this is what you have for the nation of Israel, I have confidence to ask you to win this battle for us. And he reflects also on the faithfulness of God. And we as believers need to keep track in our mind, in our heart, and in our soul, keep track of how God has been faithful to you. Do not forget it. Because there are times ahead that are going to be very difficult. And you need to remember that what God has done for me in the past, he will do for me in the present. And what God has done for me in the past, he will do for me in the present. Do you remember Mark's class the first night, and he was talking about the prophecies? And if God fulfilled this prophecy, and this prophecy, and this prophecy, and this one, and this one, and this one, then what about the prophecy in the future? Will he fulfill it? Absolutely. We can be confident because of what we have seen God already do. We're going to be mostly in 2 Chronicles 20, but hold your place there and turn to Lamentations chapter 3. And this is a passage that I probably teach too often and too much, but the reason that I do it is because I always think it's pertinent. And if you've heard it before, just hear it again. We need reinforcement. Peter did not apologize to the people he was teaching for repeating the same thing over and over, because repetition is a teacher's best friend. So in Lamentations chapter 3, Jerusalem has fallen to the Babylonians, and Jeremiah has seen it with his own eyes. And he doesn't like what he has seen. Let me just read in, it's a long chapter, so I won't read all of it. I'll start in verse 6. This is how Jeremiah's soul is feeling when he sees Babylon attacked and destroyed. In dark places he has made me dwell, like those who have long been dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He feels desolate in his soul. He bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. He made his arrows, the arrows of his quiver, to enter my inward parts. I have become a laughingstock to all people, their mocking song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood. And he has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Perhaps you have felt like that at some time in your life. This is not a good place for your soul to be. But then is a big word in Scripture. But then Jeremiah remembers. His circumstances have not changed, but the condition of his heart changes when he remembers something. And see if you can tell me what he remembers. In verse 19, he's talking to God. This is a prayer. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, and then I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you see the abrupt, the very abrupt change in Jeremiah's soul? Very abrupt. One moment he is in great despair and he has lost all strength and all hope. And then what does he remember?
Hope.
What gives him hope, though? Remembering the loving kindness of God and the faithfulness of God. We can't forget that. We cannot, as believers, forget that. That is the Mount Everest in our soul. That is the ocean in our life. We cannot forget it. And when we remember it, even in the middle of our worst and darkest times, it gives us hope. That same hope I talked about, that if God was faithful in the past, he will be faithful to me here in the future. And the faithfulness of God gives us faith and trust that he will act in our behalf. And there will be a good outcome. Jesus always wins. And so this is part of who are we talking about? Jehoshaphat. This is part of Jehoshaphat's prayer. He has a confidence based on the essence of God. He has a confidence based on the faithfulness of God. And then he also displays in this passage a commitment. In other words, he's asking God to deliver them, but he's also saying to God, we are all in here. We all, as a people, are here. We are here with you, and we are standing before you, God, and we are standing with you, God. And there is a total commitment. There is a total humility as he commits his way to the Lord. And I want to tell you about a young girl that I read about recently who had a total commitment and an all-in attitude. Because that is what we need in the world today. The church today is weak. At least in America. Is the church weak in Mexico? It is. There are some places in the world where the church at this time is very strong, and it's pretty much the places that are being persecuted. This girl stood for her faith. She was all in the battle of life. She was just a schoolgirl. I don't know the exact age, 8, 9, 10 years old. Living in China, 1901, the Boxer Rebellion. Christians were being persecuted and put to death by the rebels in China. She was part of a student group, 100 children that were going to school in a mission compound. And they went to school this day just like they would go to school any day, put on their little school uniform, pack their lunch, go to school to learn their math and their science and whatever. And the rebels came to that school that day, and they put a huge wooden cross in front of the gate, and they came in with guns, and they said to the children, if you will trample underfoot the cross of Jesus Christ, you can go home to your mother and your father, and you can live. But if you will not trample underfoot the cross of Jesus Christ, you will be shot and killed for your faith. And the first 7 children that walked out of that school immediately went to the cross and trampled it underfoot. And they went home free. And then one little girl came out and she looked at that cross of Jesus and she would not trample it. And she knelt down and she prayed by the side of that cross and she walked around that cross and she faced the gunman. And she was shot and she was killed for her faith. She was all in. She stood in the face of battle. But she went immediately to be with her Lord and Savior. And the crown that she will wear forever will show us all of her courage and her strength and her faith. And it will give glory to Jesus Christ. And what did the next 92 children do? They did exactly what that girl did. 93 of them that day went home to be with the Lord as martyrs for their faith. I have never been asked to stand in that way. But we are asked each and every day of our life to stand. And what Jehoshaphat is saying here is, Lord, if the battle does come to us, if this multitude is so strong as we have heard it is strong, and if there is going to be great threat and danger, Lord, we will stand. And I think that it should be a reminder to us to live our life picturing we need to prepare our hearts and we need to prepare our souls for what might be ahead. Think of what would you do if martyrdom came to you. Because if you don't think about it ahead of time, you're probably going to bow to the wrong person. But if you think about it ahead of time and you pray to God, Lord, if that does come to me, let me stand firm. There are young people in our country who have stood and died because they would not deny their faith in Jesus Christ. And we don't know when it might come to us. So, you know, that's the greatest battle. That's the biggest enemy, so to speak, that would face us. But there are smaller things in our life, too. What would you do, ladies, if your husband walked in and said, it's done, I'm leaving? Prepare yourself. What would you do if you, when our son went off to fight in Afghanistan? I remember so succinctly the day he walked out that front door, and I broke down into tears because I did not know if he would be back. But my husband and I both talked about it. This is what we'll do if he doesn't come back. You have to prepare yourself. And one of the ways that you prepare yourself is by seeking God's wisdom, seeking God's strength, praying his essence, praying his faithfulness, and saying, Lord, if this does happen to me, help me. I am powerless, but you are strong enough to make me stand if that does happen. We learn all this from an ancient battle in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So his seeking is expressed through fasting and through prayer. And then we'll go on to verse 14 through 17. Now let me just remind you, since we've talked a bit, since we read verse 12, he has said, we do not know what to do, but they were all standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then, let's read verse 14 through 17.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came up upon Nehemiah, the son of Zechariah, the son of E, the son of Jael, the son of M, the Levite, all of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up by the ascent of this, and you will find them at the end of the road before the wilderness of Jericho.
One more.
You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you.
Okay. So in verse 12, Jehoshaphat has just prayed and said, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And immediately there is an answer to his prayer, because it is a crucial moment in life. And sometimes God gives immediate answers to prayer, and praise him when he does that. It's very convenient for us. And I've noticed he especially gives immediate answers to prayer to little children, because they don't have a very long attention span. And he's trying to teach them about his faithfulness. And sometimes I've had, you know, in my life raising children, I've had prayers that I've prayed and prayed like for years and years and years. And I'm like, you know, my spiritual clock is running out here, Lord. Let's get with it. And my child comes along and prays for something, and then God just does it. And I'm like, what's up with that? Well, I'm older. I should have a longer attention span. I've grown more in the Lord, and I can keep hanging on in prayer. So if you have prayers that you have prayed and God has not yet answered, don't give up. Just keep praying. But in this case, he answers immediately because it's a crucial moment. And we have seen God answer immediately in crucial moments. I have stories, but I don't have time to tell them. So Judah is given a word from Jehaziel. He is a prophet. Now, we are not given the word of God through prophets today. This is our message from the Lord. And that's why it's so important to know the Word of God, because it gives you direction. When you don't know what to do, you go to the Word of God, and you go to the Spirit of God, and the Word of God working together with the Spirit of God gives you that wisdom. That's how it is for us, because the canon of Scripture is complete. That's why we learn it. That's why we go to it each and every day. And we don't go to it like this. Oh, God, I don't know what to do. Oh, yeah. Okay. Judas went out and hung himself. Could be dangerous. But the answer came immediately to him through a prophet. It gave to them a specific time and a specific place to do. They were to go out and to station themselves, and they were to go out and to stand. And then let's see what happened. Verse 17 says, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. And I like it that he said, the battle is the Lord's. The Lord is the one that's going to battle this. It's God's battle. What would that remind you of if you heard those words? David and Goliath. And that's kind of the situation that we have here. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah are a small, devastated army. They would be like David. And the three armies that are coming before them, if anybody can remember those three names, they're very strong and very threatening. So the fact that God said to the prophet, tell Jehoshaphat that the battle is the Lord's, would remind him again of the faithfulness of God, that the weak can win against the strong because God is the one that's doing the battle. So they stand on the word of God. And then let's read verse 18 through 21. Thank you.
Joseph bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Korahites, stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tokah. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah, people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever."
Okay. So they stand up and they have not, let me remind you that they have not yet won the battle. They have not yet seen with their own eyes that they will be the victor. And the main thing they are told to do here is to put their trust in God, to have faith in God. And as I said before, Jesus Christ has won the victory for us. All we have to do is believe it. All we have to do is have faith in his promises and in his word. And what do they start doing? You know, men that are going to battle, they load their guns, they sharpen their swords, they, you know, like this, they put on the shields and the armor. Is that what these guys are doing? What are they doing, Allie?
They're resting.
They're resting?
Yeah.
What else are they doing?
They're fasting. They're praying.
They're praising the Lord. They go up early in the morning. They praise the Lord. They put their trust in the Lord. They praise him again. They give thanks. They're about to come up against a great multitude, and they're celebrating. They're celebrating because their faith has given them now a deliverance from fear. Their faith has given them a peace and a joy in their heart. Remember Paul and Silas in prison, in shackles? They were not in a comfortable place. They were to be persecuted the next day. And they're just there singing their little hearts out. You know, I would love to have heard. I wish I could get it on iTunes. But it's not available to us here, not until eternity. But they're just singing their little hearts out. They didn't know what was going to happen the next day. They expected to be persecuted. But they had probably sought the Lord. They had probably prayed. They had probably said, you know, whatever, Lord, but we're weak, but you'll take us through it. We're willing to stand. We're willing to die for our faith. And so they just started having a sing fest. This is how God wants us to live. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. And I remember a really hard time in my life when I didn't have a whole lot to rejoice in. I didn't have a whole lot to smile about. I was going through an intense period of trial and testing, and somebody cross-stitched for me that verse from Nehemiah 8:10, "The joy of the Lord will be your strength." And I looked up that verse in the Bible, and I looked at the context of it, and you know what? My countenance changed. My circumstances didn't change, but I hung that verse up, and that was such a great reminder to me. Let's celebrate, even before we see what God is going to do with our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And some of the battles in our life, we have not yet seen Jesus be victorious over. You may have marriage problems, and you have not yet seen Jesus deliver you from those marriage problems. Walk by faith and not by sight. Romans 8:28, who can quote that for me? "For we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love him, and to those who are called according to his purpose." And Proverbs 31 says, "Of the woman of honor, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she is so terrified of the future, she hides in the closet." Is that what it says? Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. We have a lot to be concerned about, but we don't have a lot to be fearful of. because the Lord is the one that fights the battles for us. So this is what Jehoshaphat and they and the armies did. And then I'm just going to read for you in verse 22. Let's see what happens. This is the most amazing battle that has ever been fought on the face of the earth. In verse 22, when they began singing and praising the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah so that they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So can you picture what's happening? They're all three armies gathering together, and they're heading to fight Judah. That's their, you know, that's their goal. Let's go together and fight against Judah. And they're big armies and they're strong armies. And somehow God routed them the other way, and two of the armies fought against the Munites and destroyed them. And then those two armies that fought against the Munites and destroyed them looked at each other and they started fighting each other. And everybody got killed. Everybody. Everybody that was coming up against Judah got killed. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, in verse 24, they looked towards the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. So who died? All of them. How many people are dead in the cemetery? All of them. They look out there, and all they see are corpses on the ground. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things which they took for themselves more than they could carry. My cup overflows. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. So who fought the battle? God did. And who got the spoil? They did. God did all the fighting, and they got all the blessing. They went down to where the soldiers, the corpses lay on the ground, and they started taking the clothing and the wealth and the weapons and the food and whatever there was so much of it that it took them 3 days to gather it all up, which is fortunate because after 3 days those bodies start stinking. But the point is that God did all the work and they got all the blessing. And isn't that how Jesus is? He did all the work for us on the cross, and then we are the recipients of all the blessing. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. This is a prophetic chapter prophesying the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I'll just read in verse 10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him. Who are we speaking of? Jesus. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, that's us, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong. This verse is talking about Jesus, but it's we're the great and we're the many, we're the strong. In other words, Jesus Christ won the victory on the cross, and with that victory, he won all spiritual blessings. And Jesus is not a greedy God. He does not take all of the spiritual blessings and hoard them unto himself. He shares them with us. He fought the battle, he won the battle, and then he says, just sit there and believe in me and let me pour out my spiritual blessings into your life until there's so much of it that your cup will overflow, so much of it that you cannot carry. Now, how do you feel in your life? You may not feel like that. You may not feel like you are in that place. And sometimes we have to put ourselves in that place by faith. And it's by having faith in what God says he has given us that, like Jeremiah, it brings us from the point of feeling like we are chewing on gravel in life to the point where we can say the loving kindness and the mercy of God is so great. Every day that sun comes up, it's fresh and new to me. And I hope that the Word of God can bring you to that place in your life, even if you are facing many battles, even if your soul is tempted to fear. Now, ladies, this is an amazing story. I don't know if in, you know, the Army and the Marine and the Navy and the Air Force, I don't know if they ever study this battle. Probably not. But are all battles won this easily? No. My son has been in war. Some of you have husbands or sons who have been in war. And we hear stories, and they come home with some pains and some problems in their hearts. My son told me one time, he was on the back porch, and this is just a little thing, that on the back porch talking to Jean, and I came up behind him, and there was a fly on the table, and I swatted that fly, and he immediately turned as if to attack. And he thought it was his mother. And he said, "Don't ever come up behind me like that." Because he had just come home from war, and he was, you know, trained to fight like that. Not all battles are won this easily, but all battles in our life are won not by ourselves, but when we seek the Lord and let Him be the victor, and we live in light of what He has already done for us. Some battles will take longer to win. Some battles will take spiritual endurance. Some battles will break your heart, but you keep fighting. You suck it up, princess, and you keep in the battle, and you don't give up until God shows you the victory, until God brings you through that victory. You are beautiful, feminine women. Put on the armor of God and fight like hell, because you can do it because of who Jesus is. Don't give up. And so they collect the blessing. And then after 3 days of gathering up the blessing, claiming their blessings and the spoils of battle, on the fourth day, verse 26, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore they have named that place the valley of Baraka, which means blessing, until today. And every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And we too can rejoice over the world and over the flesh and over the devil. We too can rejoice over our fears, because if we have faith, we can live in light of the victory of Jesus Christ. And I would just like for you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 103. And you know, there's a song about this psalm, and I wish I would have had Catherine, or one of the ladies that has such a beautiful voice, sing it for us, because it's one of my favorite songs. But I didn't have that forethought, and I'm sorry. But we do have the Word of God, and the Word of God is even more powerful than Catherine's voice. Let's just read Psalm 103, and let's think about the victory of Jesus Christ in our life and living in light of that victory. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frames. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and who remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Your soul is so precious to God, and it is in a battle. It is in the battle of the ages, that as you go forth from this camp and you face that battle, remember to bless the Lord. Celebrate who he is and celebrate what he has done for you. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you and you alone can take something that happened thousands of years ago and make it pertinent to our life. This book is old, but it is not archaic. It has been around for centuries, but it will never be outdated. Everything here on this earth will pass, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. And we thank you, Father. We thank you that you have given to us the truth, and we pray that we, each and every one of us, would make the truth a great part, the only part of our life. And Father, I just pray for these ladies and for these young people, because I know that we, each and every one of us, are either in a battle right now, or there are battles ahead of us that we will face. And Father, I pray that as each and every one of us face those battles, we would face them in humility, we would face them in utter uselessness on our own strength, and that we would seek you, that we would bow before you and seek you with every decision and every problem and every fear and every worry in our life. And we pray, Father, that until we see the answer, we would trust you and walk by faith, and that we would even sing and praise you before we see the corpses lying on the ground. Father, help us to celebrate and to live every day as a celebration of your grace to us, and bless our soul with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.